On Good Friday, we meditate upon the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he died, and we remember when he died. Good Friday, about 2,000 years ago. We remember where it was, a little hill called Calvary just outside of Jerusalem. By studying the Bible, we also know how he died, the very cruel torture called crucifixion. But then there's another question. Why did he die? He was innocent. Some in the crowd said, why should he die? What has he done wrong? Nothing, of course. Why did he die? It was not for his sin, for he had no sin. He died for our sins, so that we could be forgiven. There's no other way that we could be forgiven justly and legally by God without a sacrifice. This was no accident. It had been planned and predestined by God back in eternity. And the Bible says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came into the world. He lived a holy life. And then at just that very appointed day and place and time, Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're told he came to defeat Satan, the devil. And there are other reasons this displays so much about God. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the perfect manifestation of God in his person, in his life, his words, his works. And all of that coalesced on the cross on Good Friday. And in that wonderful deed called the atonement, God displayed more about who he is than in any other display. More than in that bright light of the glory of God called the Shekinah glory. More than in the revelation through nature where we see the power and the beauty of God. On that hill, on that cross, in Jesus, was displayed so much more of God. The holiness of God. The Holy One who is God in the flesh, suffering on behalf of unholy sinners. Suffering, the wrath of God. The wrath of God was manifested. The wisdom of God. The angels could not have devised such a profound plan, but God did. And Jesus fulfilled it. The wisdom of God. And so much else. The justice of God. The power of God. But tonight I'd like to concentrate on another beautiful attribute of God that was displayed so perfectly, the love of God. The scripture reminds us of this over and over again, and tonight I've selected seven or eight verses that tell us how first God the Father showed his love at the cross, and then secondly God the Son showed his love at the cross. Our first verse is the most well-known verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When it says God, that means God the Father, because he gave his Son, who is God the Son, first two members of the Trinity. And back in the councils of eternity, they devised this plan. The Father would send the Son and would give the Son. Why? We're told because he loved the world. He so loved the world. You could paraphrase that. He loved the world so much and in such a way as to give not an angel, not even the entire cosmos. He gave the most valuable thing in itself, his Son, who happened to be the most valuable thing to him, his own precious, darling Son. When Jesus was baptized, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he gave. The greatest giver gave the greatest gift. And it was a great gift of love and the display of love. His one and only Son. Now we, the parents, have a precious love for your precious children. Would you give your son or your daughter for your worst enemies? You'd say no. But God gave his Son to us. The Bible says the Father loves the Son. The Son of his love is how Jesus is described. And so this works both ways. Think about it. The Father so loved the world that he gave the Son. One of the Puritans, John Trapp, said, yes, but also the Father so loved the Son that he gives him the whole world. So the whole world belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gets back to that phrase, he so loved the world that he gave his Son. That's John 3:16. Then we find similar words later in the New Testament in 1 John. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Listen to these words. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 is sometimes called the love chapter because he discusses love from several angles. God's love for us, we loving God, loving other people. But it gets back to God is love, which is said twice in this chapter. God decided to show his love, and he showed it in the best way possible. Notice these two verses both say, in this is love. Love is a wonderful word. We all love love, and we want to be loved. That's why there are love stories and Valentine's Day. But what would be the best picture of love? Years ago, there was a contest in London, and a newspaper offered a prize for the best picture of peace. And people sent in different kinds of pictures. I've never heard of anybody having a contest, what is the best picture of love? Oh, I'm sure people would send in a picture of a mother holding her brand new baby. Oh, what love. Or a husband and wife being married, holding hands. Love. Many other displays of love. But the best one is here in these two verses. This is love. In this, the love of God was manifested or displayed to us, that God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live and be saved. Then he says, true love is not that we first loved God. We hated God. We were sinners. We ignored God. But rather that God first loved us. He took the step first. And in spite of our hatred of God, God's love is greater than our sin. And he did this so that we would love God, though we never love God as much as he loves us, because he is infinite. And it says, in sending Jesus into the world, Jesus was the propitiation for our sins. That means the sacrifice that purchased redemption and salvation for us. That is the display of the love of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we turn to the Apostle Paul. And in the wonderful work, which is sometimes called his masterpiece, the book of Romans, he said this. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated it. He proved it. He manifested it. How? Not by sending an angel. No angel could fully display the love of God or accomplish salvation for us. But God demonstrated it in this wise plan through love. While we were still sinners, not for Adam and Eve in the garden before they sinned, not for the holy angels in heaven that need no redemption, but for filthy sinners, us. God loved us when we were sinners. And he proves it by sending Christ into the world, as it says here, Christ died for us. He demonstrated. He proved it. In fact, some translate that like God proved his love for us. If you ever doubt the love of God, remember the cross. If you ever go through a deep valley, trials, afflictions, tribulations, and doubts arise in your heart, how could God love me and let me go through this? Remember the cross. That's the greatest display of the love of God. I've sometimes quoted the wonderful statement of John Calvin 500 years ago, said this: we will never progress very far in the Christian life unless we really do realize that God really does love us. And how does he prove it? By sending Christ to die for us. In Malachi chapter 1, God said this to the ancient Jews: I have loved you, but you say, how have you loved us? Some of you remember the old poem, How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways. Well, we could count the ways. God has given us life, friends, beauty, music, so much in this world. All are love gifts from God that prove he really does love us. But what's the best love gift? What's the best proof of all? God proves his love in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And if any doubt arises in our heart or in the heart of a skeptic unbeliever that says, prove it to me, all we have to do is say, look at the cross. And if that doesn't convince you, nothing will. And if it doesn't prove it in our hearts, something's wrong with our hearts. Hearts need to be broken. Our eyes need to be opened. The Lord Jesus did not die on the cross in order to make God love us, as some people think. He died on the cross because God loved us. And that proves it to our doubting hearts. So wrapped up in salvation is the love of God. And it's not merely a love of a mere display, but it's a sacrifice. Notice the text says Christ died for us. Now those are displays of the Father's love by giving his only Son for us. Let us now meditate upon three or four verses that show the love of the Son in coming. Because you see, this is the deep mystery, that it wasn't just the Father's love, it was the Son's love for us as well. We read John 3:16. What about 1 John 3:16? It says this: by this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. He laid it down voluntarily. In John 10, he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. He could have called down angels to stop him in Gethsemane. If people had come at him with guns, bombs, knives, he would have been invincible. As it were, he had a shield of divine omnipotence, but he voluntarily laid it down by letting people take his life. As it says here, he laid down his life for us. He could have stayed out of Jerusalem. Or he could have called down fire upon the Romans and the Jews, but he didn't. He laid down his life out of love for us. Perhaps you've heard the old statement. I don't know who first said it, but it's good. It said, it was not merely the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. It was his love. Nails are only made out of iron. But the love of Jesus kept him on the cross when people were mocking him and the devil was scorning him and people misunderstood it. But on the cross, Jesus suffered and every piece of agony shouted, I love you. Every drop shouted, I love you, I love you. That's why he laid down his life and he suffered and bled for us. That proves the Son's love for us. Next, listen to these words that Jesus spoke to his apostles on the very night before he died. He gathered in the upper room with his apostles, and he said various things. He washed their feet. He told them about love. And then he said these astounding words. John 15, 13, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Occasionally a man lays down his life for his friends. In warfare, the soldiers are together in combat, and the enemy slings a grenade into the camp, and one of the men throws himself on there. He lays down his life for his friends. And sometimes he's given the Congressional Medal of Honor, and people say, what love, what a sacrifice. So Jesus said, no man could show greater love than to do this, to lay down his life for his friends. But wait a second, there's a problem. Before we look at the next verse, by nature we are his enemies. Remember Romans 5:8, when we were sinners. So it wasn't like we were his closest friends. We weren't even angels. We were his enemies. But you see, Jesus looked at us with eyes of love, and what he did was with a view to transforming his enemies into his beloved friends. And that's why he said in the next verse something that absolutely astounded the apostles. He said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends. Peter, you are my friend. John, James, Bartholomew, you are my friends. We all have friends, sometimes a best friend. Someone said, old friends are the best friends, ones that you've known all your life. These were Jesus' closest friends, and he'd celebrated the Lord's Supper with them, and he's telling them he's going to die, and he says, I lay down my life for my friends. You are my friends. But friends, he says that to us also. If we are Christians, he says, you are my friend. I laid down my life for you when you were my enemy, and my spirit of love transformed you into my friends. And no one could show greater love, not even a soldier in war, because a soldier in war might die suddenly and that's it, and the suffering is very slow. But Jesus died an agonizing death, and he suffered the wrath of God far more than any soldier could ever suffer. He suffered as well as died to show the love of God for us, and he showed his love for us. Now, for 3 years, Jesus had shown love and compassion. We've seen this week by week in our study in the Gospel of Luke. It often says Jesus saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them. A blind man came up and said, have mercy upon me. And Jesus was moved with mercy and healed him. So Jesus showed mercy. He showed compassion. But the greatest way that he showed love for us was in dying for us. Just think of that. He calls us his friends. But he did more than simply say it. He proved it in what he did at the cross. Our next two verses are both found in Ephesians chapter 5, one at the beginning and one toward the end. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. God had prefigured this in the Old Testament by ordaining various animal sacrifices. And these were, as it were, living pictures of the great sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, as a sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. And God accepted it so that we could be saved. And then down in verse 25, uses yet another metaphor of how Jesus loved us and died for us. Verse 25, Paul now giving instructions to married couples and says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved his wife, his bride. He chose her out of love, and he died for her to prove love. You see, the ancient Jews had a marital custom. They don't particularly do this today. I suppose some Jews might, but I don't think any Gentile does in the West. A few in the Middle East do. It's that when a man wants to marry a woman, he speaks to her, words of love, but when he gives a proposal, he first goes to the woman's father and asks permission, and can I have your daughter's hand in marriage? And the ancient custom then was that the man had to prove his love by paying a bride price. This would become the dowry, for example, but he would prove it by paying a price. And so when the Jews read this, they knew just what Paul was talking about. Jesus paid the price to purchase the bride for himself. And the price was what? His death on the cross. And he did this because he loved his bride. And he purchased her with the price of love on the cross. Years ago, I heard the story. Way back in the days of Alexander the Great, about 300 years BC, the emperor of the great Greek Empire. And they brought a woman before him that had been arrested for a certain high crime that deserved death. And she threw herself before him and begged for mercy. And he thought about it and said, well, we've got to uphold the law. She has to die. She's guilty. But then a man walked in from the back and walked up. And the guards tried to keep him away. And it was her husband. And he walked up and says, oh, great emperor, if she is guilty, execute me instead. I am her husband. I love her. I will gladly lay down my life for my wife. I love her. And Alexander the Great was so moved by this. He said, I've never seen such love. Not in the Greek poets, the Greek dramas. What love that you would be willing to die for her. And he smiled and says, I pardon you. Go free. You and your husband live in love. And people in the audience began to say, oh, what love. And they went up to the woman and said, have you ever seen such love that the emperor would pardon you when you were guilty? And she said, I wasn't looking at him. I was looking at my beloved husband who loved me enough to be willing to die for me. That was the love that touched her heart. Does the love of our heavenly husband touch our hearts? Jesus was not only willing to die for us to show us his love, he did die for us to prove his love for us and to purchase us for himself so that we will live happily ever after with him. Our last verse is in Galatians chapter 2. Again, speaking of the love of Jesus at the cross for his people. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen closely. Who loved me and gave himself for me. The other verses will speak of God's love for the world, Christ's love for his bride. Here Paul narrows it down to him in particular. And that's the example for each one of us. It's not enough for us to say he died for so many others, but then we'd wonder, well, what about me? The gospel comes to us and the Spirit applies that into our hearts so that we can say he did that out of love for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. As he says back in chapter 1, verse 4, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It has sometimes been said, if we ever ask, how much does God love us? Maybe you've heard this answer. Jesus said, I'll show you how much God loves you. This much. And when he died on the cross, this is as it were a living display of the love of God saying, this much. Back in the book of Proverbs, God says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to this people. And he does that in love. And dear brethren, his hands are still stretched out. Not on a cross, not still bleeding. But his hands are first stretched out to unbelievers, saying, come to me, believe in the cross and receive my love. But then the hands are still here for the believers to hug us and to hold us to himself, to give us that love deep within our hearts. Why did Jesus do this? Well, the Bible says God is love. And to display that love, and he delights to show his love to us and to fill our unworthy hearts with it. But it was more than simply a display of love. Follow me closely as we begin to close. The display of the love of God at the cross actually accomplished something. If it didn't accomplish salvation, it was not a display of love. It would be a tragedy. For example, let's suppose that you're out in California on the beach, and you hear someone out there in the ocean crying, help, help, I'm drowning, and he's going down back and forth. And the lifeguard runs to the edge of the pier and says, I will show my love, and he jumps in and drowns. And then the other person drowns also. You'd say, that's not a display of love. That didn't accomplish anything. Both of them now are dead. But what if that lifeguard jumps in, swims out there where he sees there are sharks and an undertow. He risks his life and he grabs that drowning person and begins to bring him to shore. Right as they get to shore, a shark that's been following them grabs him, drags him under, drowns him and kills him. That would be a display of love because it accomplished the salvation of a person that otherwise would have died. So Jesus displayed the love of God by suffering and dying so that we could be saved. This is the greatest gift of love possible or imaginable. And it's given to the least deserving. Us. Some of you have heard that famous statement by Winston Churchill at the end of the Battle of Britain in World War II. And he says, never before in human history has so much been owed to so few by so many. The British people owed their very lives and freedom to those couple of hundred RAF pilots. Never before was so much owed by so many to so few. Ah, but there's a greater display. We could say, looking out over at us, never before in the history of mankind was so much owed by so many to one person, Jesus Christ. We owe him everything. Our life, our death, our worship, our obedience, our faith, our love. If he loved us that much, then we should love him in return and keep loving him. And this should cause us to love him in return. And as it says in 1 John 4:10, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is the love of God the Father and God the Son at the cross. Let's meditate upon this as we come to the table of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we have seen over and over again in your word your love for us at the cross. We have also seen the love of the Lord Jesus at the cross. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon our hearts as we meditate upon that, and as it moves us to love him in return, who loved us so long ago, and then help us to share this love with others. For we pray in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.